Blog Talk Radio.
From the world we see to the unseen world we sometimes see, that makes us stand in awe of God's universe. This is Betsy Baleka welcoming you from Cape Washington in the south to Nunavut and the Northern Lights up in the Arctic Circle, from the White House gates to Lionsgate, from Casablanca to everyone listening around God's globe. Hi, Gigi. This is Tuning In with Betsy from marvelous Manhattan and terrific Toronto. Well, this week I've had many emails from listeners asking me about psychic surgeons, where they can find a psychic surgeon, either in the United States or in Canada. And although I've had different healers on this show, and I had a big disappointment a few weeks ago when the psychic surgeon from Scotland didn't connect with us on Skype, I do have some information today. There was a book called Psychic Surgery and Faith Healing, and the author is Jessica Bryan. I'm in the process of seeing if I can get Jessica on this show, but I'll tell you a little bit about her. And this is from an article by a fellow called Mike Irish, and that's a pseudonym. That's not his real name, but that's his, I'll say, his pen name. So he tells about a desperate woman suffering the agonizing pain of fibroid tumors, and she claims she's been healed by a psychic surgeon who removed the diseased tissues with his bare hands without anesthesia. The author is Jessica Bryan, who tells the story of her miraculous recovery in her book, Psychic Surgery and Faith Healing. Lompoco Creek Press is her publisher. The psychic surgery is a paranormal procedure used by practitioners to painlessly remove diseased tissues without anesthesia. So I don't know if you're like Betsy, but I love that word, painlessly and without anesthesia. The patient, Miss Bryan, endured years of unsuccessful treatment in conventional medical facilities before she flew to the Philippines to consult with renowned psychic healer, Reverend Jun Labo, and his name is spelled capital J-U-N. His last name is Labo, L-A-B-O. After a brief interview with Labo, she was directed to the surgical center, and I'm quoting, "The room was filled with people of different ages, physical conditions, and nationalities. They're all in various stages of undress as they wait quietly for their turn on the two healing tables. Once Bryan joins the line, she watches Labo's wife and fellow healer, Yuko, remove growths of all sizes and shapes from several patients. Then, Jun Labo quietly enters the clinic, bows his head in prayer for a few moments, and begins to work on someone. A beatific look of grace appears on his face as the Holy Spirit comes over him. I'm hardly able to remain upright because the energy in the room has become so intense with his presence," Bryan observes from 6 feet away as Labo dips his bare hands into the bodies of patient after patient, extracting a variety of tumors. Then it's her turn to lie on the hard wooden table. And I'm quoting her again. "He begins to remove large blood clots and stringy tissue from my lower abdomen," Bryan writes. "There is no pain, only tugging. When Labo finishes his treatment, Bryan moves to another table where Yuko, his wife, removes several more growths. A wave of gratitude and peace washes over me," she writes. "My understanding of the nature of reality was shifted when these two healers blessed me with the grace of God." And if anybody knows anything about energy healing, psychic surgery, faith healing, healing with prana, Hawaiian huna mysticism, healing with God, the angels, the saints, your reality will shift. And once that shift happens, healing will happen. When you shift your point of view of, well, that will never happen. That will never happen. And then you have some faith and say, you know what? I do believe it can happen. Not it might happen. It will happen. So never say never, and never ever say that a situation is hopeless. Because as long as you're on this earth and you're breathing, or you're listening to me or anybody else on the TV, radio, on the internet, at YouTube, as long as you're here, God still has a plan for you. So that's one little area of our topics today. And now I have another topic. If you love conspiracy theories, did you know that in 2014, 36 financial professionals around the world died under mysterious circumstances? And let me tell you, and this article is by Mary Malia, and she wrote this article in February of this year, but she's writing about 2014. And she asks the question, who's killing the world's bankers? Now, let me tell you, I have some friends that work in banking in Toronto and on Wall Street, and this really got my attention because some of the companies that are mentioned in this article, I have friends that work there. And I do tell my friends I would never want to see anybody hurt or die mysteriously. Be careful, be careful. Honesty is the best policy. So the article continues. Who's killing the world's bankers? That's what stumped lawmen are asking. After a staggering 36 money men and women from around the world died under mysterious circumstances in 2014. The puzzling string of 36 deceased financial experts includes deaths, many that look like senseless suicides, that span the globe from the United States to Holland, Germany, Belgium, Israel, Iran, Singapore, and Hong Kong. Even more baffling is only two of the victims were over 70. Most were young, ambitious money handlers in their 20s and 30s with their whole lives ahead of them. And my comment is, and probably a whole lot to look forward to. And I'm quoting the author, it's beyond the odds that so many people from the same profession located all around the world wind up dead in such a short time span. It's quite mysterious. One of the earliest deaths was the gruesome demise of Gabriel McGee on January 27th, 39-year-old head of a planning and development unit with J.P. Morgan in London, England, disappeared after texting his girlfriend that he would be home soon. The following morning, he was found in his suit on a flat roof of the 9th floor of his bank. He had apparently fallen to his death from the 500-foot high-rise's 33rd floor. Another apparent suicide was James Stewart Jr. of Scottsdale, Arizona. The 70-year-old investment banker and board member of the Nebraska Environmental Trust was found dead at his home on February 19th, 2014. But mysteriously, no details of his fatal situation were given. On February the 28th, Autumn Ratke, the pretty 28-year-old CEO of the first Meta cybercurrency exchange firm, jumped to her death from her 25-story apartment building in Singapore. Betsy does not believe this. I'm quite familiar with this story. And if you're familiar with Bitcoin, which to me I never trusted it from the get-go, as they say, this sounds too fishy. This something is rotten in Denmark. And I don't believe that she committed suicide. I think there was much, much more behind her death. Another mysterious leaper was Kenneth Belando, the 28-year-old investment banker at Levi Capital on the sidewalk outside his Manhattan building on March the 12th of 2014. He apparently jumped from the 60th-story roof. Belando had been mentioned in a U.S. Senate's inquiry into the bank's losses due to a trading blunder. That same month, another young financial executive, 27-year-old Andrew Jarsik, was found floating in the New Jersey side of the Hudson River on March 30th. A manager of the PNC Financial Group, Jarsik had just received a promotion and had been training to run a half marathon. So you tell me, if you just get a promotion and you get more money and you're going up the ladder of success, I don't think that you're going to buy the farm, as they say. I don't think you're going to take a plunge into the Hudson River. Just my humble opinion. He had been partying with friends in Hoboken and was reportedly in good spirits when he left at 1 o'clock in the morning, saying that he would be back soon. He was last seen an hour later in jogging clothes outside of his apartment. Officials say there were no signs of foul play. And then we have Calogero Gambino, 41, who was a Deutsche Bank lawyer and managing director, who was working with U.S. regulators investigating his bank's ties to a massive scandal involving the rigging of interest rates. Deutsche ended up being clobbered with more than $1 billion in fines. I remember that. On October the 20th, Gambino was found hanging by the neck from a stairway railing in his Manhattan home, seemingly a suicide. The gruesome death of Citigroup exec Sean Miller was also labeled a suicide, even though a mystery man was filmed getting off the elevator with the 42-year-old banker at his apartment shortly before his death. And the article goes on to say the man, who was not Miller's boyfriend, later left alone before the banker's body was found in his bathtub with his throat and wrist slash on November 18th. Now, I don't know if any of my listeners watch Dateline or 48 Hours, but whenever I see a husband has found his wife's body in the bathtub, and the next minute, or maybe an hour or two later, he calls 911 and is sobbing, I'm very suspicious. In fact, not very, I'm always suspicious, because too many times dead bodies, that not only do dead men and dead women don't talk, they don't get up and move around, but the bodies can be moved. So I'm definitely a conspiracy theorist. The last death of 2014 was 52-year-old Gert Tack, who was a banker of the year, who managed finances for the wealthy at Belgium's ING, that's ING Bank. After suddenly vanishing on November the 5th, his body was found floating in the North Sea off the coast of the city of Ostend on December the 3rd. Officials say there were no signs of violence on the body, but consider the death a mysterious one. So I'm very glad I don't work in banking. I know accidents can happen anywhere, but I think that's not the last we're going to see of these mysterious happenings in the world of global finances. Now, on a happier note, somebody last week emailed me about saints and what about people that they have heard there were certain Catholic saints that their bodies never decomposed, and that's a sign that they were sanctified, they led a pure life on earth, and that their body, how it says in the Bible, from dust you came and to dust you shall return, but that these saints were on such a higher spiritual level that their bodies, once their soul had left the body, they didn't decompose. So I'll give you a few examples. Saint Bernadette, and I have a beautiful picture of Saint Bernadette here, and it's a close-up of her, and it's not gross, it's a close-up of her face, and she died in 1879. And I think she was 34, 35 when she died. She looks so young. Her hands, her nails are beautiful. There's a rosary in her hands. Her eyelashes, her eyebrows, her mouth, her skin, she's incorruptible. So St. Bernadette, between February and July, 1858, this young sister, she was a nun, reported 18 separate apparitions of a holy lady. At first, the Catholic Church was doubtful of her claims, but an investigation later deemed the sightings worthy of belief. And if anybody knows, it was Our Lady of Lourdes, the Blessed Mother, came to her at a grotto, and there's a healing spring where people go, and there have been miraculous healings from reports at Our Lady of Lourdes grotto in Lourdes, France. So St. Bernadette, Sister Bernadette, died in 1879. Her remarkably preserved body is on display in Lourdes, France. It is in a glass casket. And then another saint whom I had learned of as a child, St. John Vianney, also born in France. He was born in 1786, and he became known as the patron saint of parish priests. He was very humble, and his work was as a small village parish priest who was tempted by Satan. I had read a book about him when I was a kid. Satan used to come and have rats attack him as he slept. And Padre Pio, whom I'm sure many of you are familiar with, also, he was attacked by Satan. And he would fight with he would fight Satan all night long. And his guardian angel, for some reason, I've read somewhere, Padre Pio said, "Why is my guardian angel not helping me?" And it was Padre Pio's battle to fight the good fight. So if you're going through some battles of your own, whether they're physical, emotional, or physical, be strong and ask the Holy Spirit for strength and the saints for strength to get you through it, because this is just temporary. But getting back to Father John, he died in 1859, and his incorruptible body is entombed above the main altar in the Basilica at Ars, France, where St. Joan of Ars is from. And then we have St. Vincent de Paul, and this saint was ordained a priest in 1600. Soon after, he was taken captive by Turkish pirates. Despite being sold into slavery, he converted his owner to Christianity and was released in 1607. He died in 1660. Although most of his body is decomposed, after burial, he was exhumed and was shown his heart had not decayed and it was incorruptible. And his heart is on display along with his casket in Paris, France. And then there is Saint Veronica Giuliani, an Italian mystic. She was born in 1660. She entered the convent at age 16 and proclaimed she wanted to suffer Christ's pain on the cross. After her death in 1727, an image of a cross was found emblazoned on her heart, which remains incorruptible. And last but certainly not least is St. John Bosco, known as the father and teacher of youth. He was an Italian priest and educator. He died in 1888, and his incorruptible body lies in the Basilica of Mary, Our Help in Turin, Italy. So just know miracles are still happening every day. It's never too late for a miracle. And if anybody's interested, Billy Burke will be here in Toronto on Sunday, this coming 12th and 13th of April. He will be at the Canadian Christian College at 50 Gervais Drive in Toronto. And on Sunday, the healing service is at 6:30, and on Monday night, the healing service is at 7:30, and you will see modern-day miracles there. I met Billy Burke back in 2012, and I do get to see him every once in a while when he's here throughout the year. He's in Toronto once a month, except he's not here in December and February. And I have seen, I saw a woman last year. She had been in a wheelchair for something like 30 or 32 years. She had a stroke at age 22, and she had been, and now she's 53. So Billy Burke prayed over her, and the Holy Spirit, whether you believe in the Holy Spirit or not, he's real, came down upon this woman, and she got up and walked out of a wheelchair. So if anybody here is listening and you're in the GTA and you need a miracle, do not be afraid to go see Billy Burke this coming weekend. And his website is www.billyburke, I'll spell it, BillyBurke.org. And you can listen to beautiful healing music there for free. You don't have to give him any money. You can put your prayer request in there. And then I will tell you, did you know that sunshine can heal you? Yes, it's that wonderful vitamin D. Of course, we all need vitamin D. And I had read an article from India. A healer said, when you sit in the sun, sunlight can dissolve tumors. And so do get, once the sun has come out in April, one of these days, do go sit in the sun. I prefer sitting in the sun and absorbing it rather than taking pills. And then I will just say, here's five easy ways to be healthier. Very simple. And these tips are from Dr. Frank King, who's a chiropractor, and he has a new book out called The Healing Revolution. And he says, here are five easy steps for a healthier 2015. Drink half your body weight in ounces of water, spring water, or well water. Many of us walk around dehydrated, and that can have a toxic effect on our well-being. When we are dehydrated, and I know this is true, poisons are trapped in our bodies. To test the dehydration, pinch the skin on the back of your hand for 3 seconds. If the skin remains a ridge for more than a second when you release it, you're most likely dehydrated. And I love his next tip. Disconnect from all electronic devices for a while and spend time outdoors enjoying the sights, the smells, and sounds of your natural surroundings. We need these experiences to restore, renew, revive, and rehabilitate the body. Now, perhaps you've heard of the 30-30 challenge in Toronto with Dr. David Suzuki, and his challenge to everybody, not just in Toronto, but around the world, and I'll put it out there for him, is that in the month of May, spend 30 minutes a day in nature. And even if you can just go sit on a park bench across the street, like I'll probably do, or sit in a park, or sit by Lake Ontario, Lake Erie, Lake Champlain. What lakes are around in California? You have such a drought out there. I think we better pray for rain. But we do reconnect with God. I do believe this. God is not just in a church, a cathedral, or a chapel. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. And you'll feel him around you. And then doctor says, Dr. King, take a brisk walk every day. Walking is the simplest and most natural form of exercise. Now, yesterday I heard on television that dementia is linked to, do you walk fast or do you walk slow? And the doctor on television said, the slower you walk, the more chance of dementia. You'll have more of a chance of getting dementia. So his gist was, walk faster, speed it up. And then Dr. Frank King says, and I like this, follow a to-be list rather than a to-do list. Write down how you would like to look and feel a month from today, a year from now, etc. For example, I will be more fun and sassy, always with a smile, a song, or a joke, or a word of encouragement for others. I will buy whole foods from the farmer's market. My sore joints will be stronger. And his last tip is, get enough sleep. Studies have shown that getting at least 8 hours of sleep nightly improves our health. Avoid eating 3 hours before bedtime and neutralize distractions with earplugs, a fan, or a white noise generator. Sleep, and this is true, sleep if you can with the window open, if weather permits, to allow fresh air into the bedroom. Household chemicals and gases given off by building materials are bad for your health. And last night, after I watched the Ten Commandments for about maybe the 35th time, I watched some PBS shows, and there was J.J. Virgin, a doctor. I think she's a she's a nutritionist, and I forget the lady that her show was on afterwards. But they both said there's hidden sugars. So today, when I was at the grocery store, there was a woman and a gentleman, for two separate people, of course, getting broth, and it was Campbell's soup. But if you ever read the label on Campbell's soup, there was so much salt and sugar, I don't buy it. I'm sorry. I will take tap water. In fact, I got rid of my Brita filter pitcher because I found out through research that the pH, the Brita filter was actually taking out, it was messing up the pH balance of my water. So say Toronto's tap water has maybe a 7.2 or 7.3 pH, which is really good. But when I filtered the water with the Brita filter, my pH was going to like 5.8, 6.2, which is not what Betsy wants. So I toss that away, and I'm drinking just the tap water. It's actually healthier. I can't believe it. And boy, am I saving the money. I was buying so much spring water. I was, you know, every time it went on sale, I would want like 36, 48 bottles of water. But be careful with the BPA. The plastic, that chemical can cause cancer. And I was talking to a friend in Hawaii, and we were talking about sugar feeds cancer cells. So the girls last night on PBS, and I say girls very affectionately, were talking about hidden sugar. White bread, whole grains, corn, popcorn. Do not eat corn syrup. That is the worst thing for you. Do not drink Coca-Cola. Don't drink Coke. Don't drink diet anything, don't drink soda, because you may end up with early signs of dementia and too many illnesses that you don't want to be sick. And forget the obesity. It's not about being fat. It's all the other illnesses that can come along with sugar, sugar, sugar. And I don't mean just the Archie song from the 1970s, but really try. And these, if you watch PBS and their books, they tell you how to get unhooked away from that sugar craving, because there was a book which you all know about, Fat Sugar, Salt, Fat Sugar, that it's really a corporate trick to get us hooked on fat, salt, and sugar. We crave more, more, more. But the more water you drink, and even if you put a little lemon juice in it, that'll take that craving away for chocolate and sugar. Well, Betsy is now out of time for this day, but do tune in. I believe it's April the 13th, and Sheila Gale has a new website coming up about the power of prayer, and she's going to connect people worldwide to pray together for miracles. And her daughter was healed of a mystery illness, and we're having her on next week on the 13th. So I want to say I hope you had a lovely Easter, and enjoying Passover. May God bless you. Talk to Him. He's waiting to hear from you. And talk to your angels. They love to help you. Have a great day.